Hello and welcome to The Cute Life, otherwise known as The Apocalypse. I'm Finley.
I'm Ollie. We're the last two survivors on Earth.
Welcome to our isolation station.
I feel like this is going to be the launch of like a billion podcasts.
Oh yeah.
People locked in their house and they're just like, what can I do?
What can we do? Too much time on our hands.
We'll start a pirate radio station and broadcast to the world. It'll be interesting to see what comes out the back of this. Did you hear that all the people were saying that, like, Shakespeare supposedly wrote one of his plays
when while he was in quarantine.
And Newton discovered gravity. Although they all seem to have only started mentioning, like, I knew these stories before. They've only started mentioning the fact that these guys were quarantined now.
Yeah.
Which I feel is
convenient.
I feel like it's a way of them blackmailing us into feeling guilty that we should be doing more and not lying on the sofa watching trash TV.
Yeah, which I have some recommendations for.
Good.
How are you all holding up? Not gonna lie, me and Ollie have been quite enjoying the self-isolation thing.
Yeah, when you don't think about people dying.
Yeah.
And just think about yourself.
Oh, can I just preempt this whole episode with, obviously we're taking this very seriously and we're not seeing people and we're avoiding going out as much as possible and we're taking this very seriously and we know it's awful, but me and Ollie make a lot of jokes, so just don't like at us and scream at us for making a joke and trying to make light of it.
Also, all the activities we're doing are within the home.
Yes.
Yeah. Slash garden.
I don't know, I just thought...
You can't get the coronavirus in the garden. That's a scientific fact.
I don't know whether it is a scientific fact, but...
Well, as long as you don't shake hands with your neighbours over the fence.
Yeah.
I'm building a fence, literally. That's what I'm doing in this time. I'm keeping everyone out.
But it's been quite nice, like, being kind of... doing sort of wholesome things, catching up on DIY, doing the gardening. Ollie actually fixed our oven, which we haven't had an oven for the past year.
Year and one month.
And then because Ollie's had a bit more time, he actually fixed it. And I made some banana bread yesterday. So very happy about that. And I quite like...
Already our sugar content levels are off the chart. Because it turns out that all baking...
A lot of sugar.
It's just pure sugar, isn't
it?
Yeah. It's an ingredient mixed with sugar put in an oven.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And it's been quite nice having the pressure sort of taken off being sociable and going and seeing people. I mean, obviously, I'm sure it's going to get a bit boring if this goes on for weeks and weeks and months. But at the moment, kind of enjoying it, not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're lucky that...
I mean,
we have each other and a dog.
Yeah, exactly. I really feel for people who are single or people who are sort of stuck with housemates they don't particularly like.
Just unlucky
or get on
in
with.
Love, you know? Unlucky in love and life. No, I feel like, because obviously we're doing a lot of like conference calls at work, which is obviously an absolute delight.
Just hear Ollie sort of shouting, can you hear me?
Every...
Who's banging? Stop eating. Just like...
So we have a whole work morning meeting every day where we all Skype in. And now we're doing video, but first we were just doing audio. Like the first one that was like, clearly someone eating cereal. And everyone's going, who's eating? And you could just hear like that, ding, ding, ding. And then everyone was like, no, I don't know. But obviously everyone was eating something because it was like 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
All having got breakfast. Yeah, it was very entertaining.
Yeah. What else have you got to say on this matter?
I think for me, it's finishing work at 5:30 and then being home
instantly.
At 5:30 and 1 second.
It's nice.
It's very nice.
No more commutes for you.
No, and... yeah, I mean, to be honest, I feel like it sort of makes me... I feel like I'm kind of more productive, actually, in some ways.
Well, because you have more time enforced on you.
Yeah, and also I find that I tend to... I just get up and turn my computer on.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I've come like, down in the mornings and you're, like, working and it's, like, 7 o'clock in the morning or something.
Yeah, well, I'm quite a morning person, so I feel like I sort of... And that works quite well for me. I'd rather just... start work at like 6:30
in the
morning.
Well, this is the thing. I think people think when you work from home, like I do, that you sort of doss around in your pyjamas all the time and don't do anything and just like watch This Morning. But you're actually a lot more productive because you don't have to commit that time to travelling and doing whatever if you're like leaving to go to an office or something.
No, I think that will be a silver lining that comes from this, is that people will realise that a lot more companies can do a lot more employees can like work from home, and you know, everyone's always resistant to go onto using the internet just because like people like having their staff physically in front of them, yeah. I think. But maybe this is one of those silver linings.
Yeah.
But it's also very difficult for people who are self-employed, like you.
Yeah, don't really know how it's got. I mean, I'm kind of like, I closed my books at the perfect time, which was a complete godsend. I mean, it wasn't any plan or anything. I'm sorry, Ollie's just going to let Tova out, because guess what? It's that time in the podcast where she wants to go and be let outside. Yeah, I'm not panicking too much because I closed my books just before this all happened, like completely coincidentally. So I had like a little bit of money behind me. So I'm not panicking too much, especially that we're not sort of leaving the house and not spending money and doing anything. But if this rolls on for months and months, absolutely, God knows what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to get creative. I just bought, this is what's really frustrating, I just bought a camera. Because I've wanted a camera for about 3 years or something, like to film little videos and stuff, because my paintings take so long, I just can't do like proper videos on my phone. And it's something people always ask me about, and I really wanted to do, because I thought maybe I could open a Patreon if I had like some videos to put up or whatever. So I finally made enough money to buy a camera, which I was really proud of, that I had a bit of money saved up that I could actually buy something I needed for my work. And then this has all happened, and now I'm like, shit, I really shouldn't have spent that money on a camera. But
maybe you could go and do films around like beautiful Hastings.
I'm not supposed to leave the house.
You're allowed to still walk your dog.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you can sell those videos to people who live in inner cities who haven't seen nature for 6 months.
I feel like that's just like mean, isn't it? It's like, yeah. You can't leave your house. Here's me swanning around my seaside town.
I saw someone was like,
oh, absolutely not, Tova. She was just
scratching at the window to get in.
Now she's... Oh, you, madam.
Yeah, I saw someone was sort of making this document, and the idea was that...
What's wrong with you?
It was tracking basically all the businesses that are being shitty to their employees, and it's like, you know, let's not forget these companies that have fucked over their employees. Like, you know, companies like Virgin, who are like just making all their staff go on unpaid leave.
EasyJet.
All the airlines, basically.
Oh no, now Tova's standing on my
arm. Now she's stomping around on your arm. Wow, what a dog.
What is wrong with her?
Anyway, have you got a cute thing for this week, Finn?
I do have a cute thing.
To raise everyone's spirits in these corona times.
Me and Ollie thought we'd bring you a few things to get you through this awful weird time, one of which is a cute thing to come out of the coronavirus. And I don't know whether you've been hiding under a rock for the past 2 weeks and quarantining yourself from Twitter, but
which is probably quite a healthy thing to do,
probably quite healthy. But you may or may not have seen that some penguins have been enjoying the fact that people are not going to the Chicago Zoo at the moment because it's quarantined. And these penguins were allowed to roam around the aquarium and look at all the fish and the dolphins. And even, where is it?
Yeah, so because there's none of the public are allowed in, for some reason the staff just decided
to let the
penguins
have little field trips,
go out,
which is really cute. So there's lots of videos of them wandering around having a look at the fish, and the fish actually look like they're interested in the penguins.
Well, they're pretty terrified. They're like, oh my god, it's a predator, it's coming at me from the glass.
But it's really cute. These one of the penguins who got to roam around was a 32-year-old penguin called Wellington.
That's old.
Yeah, and so he went and had a look at all the fish. And then another two penguins were called Edward and Annie, who were a bonded pair of rockhopper penguins.
And quite traditionally named animals at the Chicago Zoo.
Yeah. So they've bonded with each other for the spring nesting season. And their little trip around the aquarium was a bit like a little date for them, which is so cute. Penguins on a date, just wandering around the aquarium. Oh my god, lovely.
Yeah, I feel like if you set that to some sort of like Hollywood golden age music of them walking around, that could be a very viral hit.
I mean,
although it already is obviously a viral hit.
Again, want to preempt this with I'm a vegan, so I'd rather they were just in the wild and not in a zoo, but it's cute that they got to have a little roam around.
I mean, at least, you know, this does show that I think that the majority of people who probably work at zoos are people who really love animals, and these zookeepers, like, when they saw this opportunity, were like, oh, wow, we can actually give these penguins a bit of space. Like, I mean, I think the zoo as a concept probably isn't that good anymore, but I imagine the people who work at zoos are people who really do love animals.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a weird job to get into if you hated penguins. Penguin keeper. Because it's pretty niche, isn't it?
So, yeah, I don't know how I got into this career.
Yeah, you know, you just fall into it, don't you? I did accounting to the university, and then next thing I knew,
I'm in the penguin enclosure.
I'm holding a penguin egg in my hands, raising it as my own. Absolute nightmare.
Anyway, yes, that's my cute thing this week.
But yeah, so the Twitter is the at Shed Aquarium.
Yeah.
With an underscore
and
in the middle.
And I shall share the, it's a little article that I found with all the videos of the penguins and the photos of them. So I'll link that in the show notes.
So if you are, like Finn, a big penguin fan.
I am. I love a penguin.
Get on it.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one thing that I thought might cheer you all up. Second thing was that the Off Menu with Joe Thomas podcast episode, me and Ollie listened to at about 1 o'clock in the morning last night because I woke up having a panic attack, which is just really fun. just what you want. And so we stuck it on to try and calm me down, and despite feeling like I was going to die, it was very funny. And yeah, I think that shows how funny it was.
We've talked about, did we talk about Off Menu podcast before on this?
I think we've mentioned it's
Ed Gamble and James Acaster, who are two English comedians, and then they do like a sort of desert island dish of food. You should do your desert island dish of food of your dream meal.
Okay.
Like they do.
Okay, we'll save that for a future podcast.
Yeah, next week when we've all run out of food and we can fantasize.
Yeah.
When we've had gnocchi for the 53rd time in a row.
Yeah, when we're going back into the supermarket and there's just empty shelves everywhere, which is what's happening. I don't know what it's like where you are in the world, because I know we've got people who listen in Australia and
the empty supermarket shelves seem fairly
worldwide. Around here it's just crazy. Like, we went to the supermarket yesterday just to get some bits and it was just empty, like nothing. Like, no dog food, no pasta, no... It's just madness.
I did hear someone saying, and I thought this was quite a good point, is, like, if you can go to, like, little, like, individually owned, like, Chinese supermarkets and, like, Polish delicatessens and all that kind of stuff, because they tend to... Well, just people tend to shop in those less frequently, and because they're smaller, they can manage their stock more easily. And also it's like, you know, Sainsbury's are going to survive this, they'll be fine, but those little shops might not.
Well, a lot of businesses in Hastings have transformed, like, from pubs into little local shops, which is just such a resourceful, good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, good on them. So
yeah, one of the pubs has turned into a drive-thru.
Yeah,
which is such a good idea.
It's really interesting seeing everyone's sort of creative ideas to try and get around this and make money, and I just hope, really, really hope that they all survive this, because, I mean, I don't know whether any of you have been to Hastings, but, like, what's so special about it is that there are all these amazing shops and independent businesses here, and if all they go out of business, I just feel like it's kind of like the heart of Hastings just going. It's just be awful.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, at the moment, they're sort of saying that they're going to put in lots of things to help them, but
hopefully.
But that's a boring subject for a boring podcast.
Anyway, yeah.
Which I will release after this.
We're trying not to be too mopey here, even though it is quite worrying.
No.
Anyway, yeah, so Off Menu with Joe Thomas. Joe Thomas is, Who did he play in The Inbetweeners? Which one?
Simon.
Simon. Who, me and Ollie were saying this morning, like, no shade to Joe Thomas, but
I don't think
I'd ever, like, be like, oh, he's one of my favourite comedians, or, like, he's so funny. But, oh, my God, he literally, me and Ollie were, like,
I was dying.
Ollie was, like, laughing so hard I couldn't actually hear the podcast at one point. Like, he was so... And he told this story about this, like, dead lamb. And it... Oh, my God, I was dying. It's amazing. So it's so funny. So definitely... Oh, it will raise your spirits. Go and listen to it. It's so good.
It's a good podcast. Go through and pick the comedians and people you like on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I've also... trash TV recommendation right here. I don't know whether you've got into the whole Love is Blind thing on Netflix. If you have,
you're an idiot.
It's brilliant.
Oh, sorry.
If you haven't, it's brilliant, so watch it. But my friend recommended, shout out to Rhiannon, recommended me this program, Five Guys a Week, which, in my opinion, is better than Love is Blind. Wow. Because it's English, so it's just... it's less, like... I don't know, it's...
Enjoy that, our American listeners.
No, but I don't know, like... I think because I'm English, I just connect better with English programming.
No, I think that goes the other way. I think that's why, like, Americans prefer the American office to the English office.
Exactly. It's no shade to the US, our US listeners. It's just personal preference, isn't it? Anyway, it's about a girl, a woman, who...
A lady.
Has five guys over to live with her in her house for a week. And then she has to, like, pick them off Big Brother style, like, and...
So one leaves each night.
Yes, and she has to then end up with one of them. And it is just, like... unbelievably cringe. I have no words. I like scream into a pillow. It is that cringe and just so funny. Oh my God, it's so good. I think there's only two episodes. It's on 4OD. I don't know whether you can get that outside of the UK, but 100% recommend it, because it is just, oh,
you can find anything on the internet
it's
these days.
It's fucking brilliant. So yeah, that's my trash TV recommendation. And I also finally watched A Shape of Water yesterday.
Is it The Shape of Water?
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
The Shape... Call
it Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
Lose the audio.
By Del Toro. Ollie's going to look it up now. And
oh,
I can't believe it took me so long to watch it. I absolutely loved it.
The Shape of Water.
It's kind of like Splash meets Pan's Labyrinth. It's like sweet and romantic, but then also kind of like horrible and like a thriller. It's
like Splash.
Oh my God, it's so good. So good. So yeah, go and watch that if you need a film to watch.
And it's not on Netflix.
It's not on Netflix. You have to rent
as we found out.
Yeah, I thought it was, but it's not. So you have to rent it. But it's worth it. It's worth every penny, in my opinion. It's so good.
Yeah. I'll need to watch it.
Yeah, I watched it while I was
The problem
working.
is, I work downstairs. Finn works upstairs. I can't watch anything. I can't even listen to things while I'm working. Because my mind is too one track. Whereas you are able to have multiple sources of entertainment running at the same time. And seem to be able to take the films in, even though you're not looking at them.
Yeah, I do, yeah. Well, you sort of glance up. I mean, yeah. I can't, like, it's a bit of a shame because, like, there's quite a lot of films that I want to watch that are, like, foreign films, and I obviously can't watch anything with subtitles because you have to closely follow them. But yeah, I don't know, I just do. I mean, I tend to try and watch things that I've watched before. But, yeah, a lot of things, I don't know, just go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's good, because it means you can just watch stuff and then you can relay to me the things that are actually worth watching.
Mm. Anyway, so that's my section of things that... Quarantine advice, yeah. And Ollie has put together a little list. See, I kind of want to do upbeat things to take your mind off the current situation. And Ollie's gone the other direction of... trying to find the bleakest.
In every relationship, there's one partner who is like the grounded one, who gets things done, has their, like, you know, is in control of the situation. And then there's the other one who floats along, life is bliss, and everything's done for them. That's Finn. So while Finn's looking at videos of penguins, I'm watching post-apocalyptic horror films to plan what's going to happen next. Also, I already...
So if we have to, like, I don't know, run off somewhere, Ollie's going to be like, right, we're going here, we're getting this train, we're getting this car.
Yeah, and Finn's
going
to be like, are we going to the zoo?
A puppy!
You just want to go to... You'll be like, let's go to a dog park. There are no dogs anymore. No, obviously I'm only, like, joking. I always liked watching, like, these kind of films anyway.
Yeah.
But I think it is... So it's quite interesting, though. So there's this game that's on, like, iPhone that's called Plague Inc.
Plague Inc. I've never
and basically you control, like, a virus and you play the virus and the whole game is that you try and infect the whole world.
Mm.
And I read an article and they said they've sold so many copies of it this week that it's, like, off the charts. So it's really interesting. They're saying, like, people really do like to watch or, like, do things to do with, like, the current situation. So, you know, there's a virus going around. People want to play games about the whole world going under. I think it's just people sort of, like, dark sense of humor.
Well, on that note, here is Ollie's list.
So it's not all films. It's films and books.
Okay.
Those are the only two mediums I've gone for at this point.
Okay.
So the first one is one that is also a Finley fave.
Yeah.
Day of the Triffids.
Oh,
it's
so good.
It's a science fiction book from 1951 by John Wyndham.
It's the best.
And basically, everyone on Earth, well, almost everyone on Earth, except the main character, is blinded in a meteorite shower.
Yeah.
And an aggressive species of plant, which is also growing on the Earth, unroots itself from the Earth and starts attacking all the people who've been blinded. Now, this doesn't sound that great as a concept.
I mean, I feel like when Ollie read it first and he was like, you have to read it, it's so good, and he explained it to me and I was like, that sounds fucking shit. Why would I want to read that? And then I read it and it's, like, honestly one of the best books.
But I think that's the problem with it. But it's which is kind of testament to what an amazing book it is, because when you try and explain it to someone, it sounds kind of daft. Every time anyone's tried to make a film or TV programme of it,
it's
been shit, because it's very hard to convey.
How terrifying.
It's trying to... making a plant that can walk around scary is very difficult. But in the book, it really is. Yeah. And it's really exciting. And it's all set in London. It was the inspiration for 28 Days Later.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Like, the first scene in the book is pretty much identical to the first scene in 28 Days Later, where he wakes up in the hospital.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's like a... And also, the other thing I wanted to mention is that since the 1950s, when it came out, it has had some really good cover art over the years. There's one particular one.
Yes, I do know this, because when I did my inspiration month for Inktober, I was going to draw one of the covers.
I think this is actually a different one I was going to say, but I know the one you mean.
I looked at, like, a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's been some really great covers.
There was one by an artist called Harry Willock.
Mm-hmm.
Which was just...
Which one's that one?
This one here.
Oh, yeah, that one's lovely. Just really muted. It looks like a beautiful print or a wallpaper or something.
Yeah, it's just lovely. Like, it's such a nice drawing.
Yeah, so I'll link that in the show notes so you can have a look at that.
But yeah, it's kind of interesting. Just, I mean, I think it's that thing again, isn't it? It's so nice, like, when books actually have real illustrations rather than photos of the movie when the movie comes out, which is always... No one likes that.
Nobody likes
that. I don't know why they always do it.
Yeah, I mean, save money.
Make money, I think. Mm. Anyway, linking into that, obviously, 28 Days Later.
Excellent film.
Also.
Great soundtrack.
Great soundtrack. Also kind of similar as in that it's set in England.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's something, again, that, like, appeals, that people would probably want to watch ones that were set where you lived.
Yeah, that's true.
But again, it's that thing, isn't it? It's that people wanting to sort of get the experience of it themselves. Of it.
Is it weird that the theme tune of 28 Days Later really reminds me of you? Because you used to have it. Do you remember you had that little MP3 player with the speed, and then it was like had those plug-in speakers?
Oh, yeah,
do you remember
that? Oh god, I forgot about that.
And yeah, and you had that, and we always used to listen to it like while we were drinking cider by a bonfire.
I think the soundtrack won loads of awards. It's a really good soundtrack.
It's really good.
But yeah, in case you don't know that, that's what's his name? Danny Boyle directed that
one. That's one of his first films, wasn't it? I think
so. Yeah. Or it's like one of his first.
Oh, wait,
like...
he did Shallow Graves, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think Danny Boyle. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like.
And Trainspotting.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Trainspotting must have been before.
Yeah, I feel like it must have been.
It was one of his many successes as a director. We'll
just
give
scrap that. What I just said.
No. I stand by it, Finlay.
Okay, next.
Okay, sorry, you've slightly thrown me off there.
Oh, sorry.
The other thing that was interesting about 28 Days Later is it was the film that is attributed to restarting that like love of zombies. Do you remember everyone like got
really
super into zombies for like 5 years?
Yeah, I remember that.
It also cost $8 million to make and made 82.
Wow.
So that's not too bad, is it?
Nice. All that corn, like what do they use for fake blood? Corn starch.
Corn syrup.
Corn syrup.
Corn starch.
Yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah.
then there's The Road.
Oh.
Well, this is a book and a film.
Yeah, both good.
Have you read the book?
Yeah, I think so. A long time ago. I think like when you first read it. I think I read it when I was really into, we were really into, oh God, what's that guy's name? Who did less from... Bret Easton and Ellis.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I read it around then. So, God, that was about 12 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, when I read the book... I mean, the book's really short. I think it's like 100 pages or something. I, like, started reading it, like, one Sunday morning and just sat and read the whole thing in one go.
Mm.
Which is a testament to how good it is and also a waste of £8 because I really burned through that. So, but you could probably get second-hand coffee nowadays.
But I can't... I think that's the only one of... You've read quite a few of his books, haven't you, Cormac McCarthy? I think I've only read that one.
Yeah, I mean... It's, like, obvious... So, it's obviously quite bleak, but I think it's... probably easier to read than quite a lot of his other books.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just like so well done, like, and so bleak and so realistic, like after the end of the world. And also it does that ambiguous thing where you don't know what caused the end of the world. Could have been coronavirus, could have been a nuclear bomb.
Oh my god, don't say that.
Could have been anything.
Don't.
The film's good as well, but the film isn't as good as the book because any film with children actors in is generally quite annoying.
I mean, you're not wrong. Other than Home Alone.
Yeah. No, I was trying to think of anything else. I was thinking Goonies. That's got children in.
Oh,
that's
excellent.
Good. Stand By Me. That's got children in.
Excellent.
That's good. Home Alone. He's still quite annoying, but the film's good. But after that.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Oh, God. Love Actually, that guy, the boy in Love Actually,
oh,
he's in
Jesus.
Love with the girl. Oh, my God. He makes me want to punch him.
Oh, and I was thinking about a boy.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's unbearable
also,
as well.
I like that film, though.
Yeah, but the kid's awful.
Yeah.
I mean, he's meant to be, so I guess that kind
Young
of makes
Nicholas
it easy.
Nicholas Holt's there?
Yeah.
With his crazy, like, eyebrows. That's just what I took away from that film. Like, his crazy, like...
And weird pointed eyebrows.
Pointy eyebrows, yeah.
And then he went on to be in Mad Max.
Yeah.
The Fury Road one. Yeah. Mad Max is on this list.
Oh, one of my favourite films with Mel Gibson.
It's such a good one.
God, it's good. And he was also, like, I loved his outfit in that. Like, his sexy little leathers. Like, it's bad that I fancy Mel Gibson, isn't it? But
yeah, I mean, he's had some...
Obviously not now, but in that film, he was very
You got to separate the art from the artist there, Finlay.
No, I really loved that film.
Just like when you said you fancied Roman Polanski.
I did not no, say that, oh my God.
Also, he's like a tiny little hermit man as well.
Can you imagine?
That's the weird thing. Is that...
Of all the people to pick.
Finney's have a poster of him on the bedroom wall.
Shut
Kiss
up.
It every night.
Shut up. Could you actually fancy anyone more repulsive? okay, sorry.
But yeah, I was just going to say like the very first
Maybe
original Mad Max. Wow.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, the first Mad Max that ever came out, because it's the least like over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people like it the least for that, but I really love it.
No, I love it. The first one's the best one by far.
People say the second one's the best one.
Is that Thunderdome? No, that's the third one.
I think everyone agrees the third's a bit of a dud.
I mean, it's good though, because it's shit. No, I like the first one, definitely, by a million miles.
And he went on George Miller to direct your favourite film, Babe.
Oh, God.
Babe. Which is a weird career, isn't it?
Oh, I love Babe so much. So good. Although I do have issues with Babe, that it bothers me so much that it's clearly set in Australia. But it's supposed to be.
It doesn't.
It's filmed in Australia, but it's supposed to be set in like Somerset, and it's like boiling, clearly a boiling hot day.
All the time.
On Christmas Day. It's just like, what? I don't understand why. I don't know.
Because George Miller's Australian.
Yeah, I know that's fine, but surely he knows that England is cold in summer. Like, is he that much of a moron? Like, I don't understand. It's not even like this. There's no point behind it. Like in 101 Dalmatians, when there's a fucking skunk in it and it's in London. It's like, what the fuck? You can tell this really annoys me.
You could... maybe you could compile a list of all the times. There's got to be
like,
more
examples. Why? I don't understand why none of the cast... The cast are English. Why did none of the cast say it wouldn't be hot now because it's Christmas and it's supposed to be set in Somerset? Why did... All these people who are involved.
Also, they're all, like, visibly sweating because they're so
exactly.
hot.
Exactly! Why did none of them say, I don't understand, it really upsets me. You can see I'm getting quite shrill about it. Okay, let's move on before I lose it.
The microphone's just shattered.
Yeah, reverberating. Okay, move on. Moving on quickly.
Did you see the film I Am Legend, Feet, Will Smith?
Years ago again, yes.
That's shit. The book it's based on is amazing.
Oh, really?
The book it's based on is really different.
Okay.
So it's from 1954, and it's basically, again, end of the world, but this time vampires. But they're sort of vampire zombies.
Vampires.
So they're kind of like zombies, but they can talk and are sort of like chasing around and stuff.
Mm.
It's a really, really good book. I always recommend it to people like who like these kind of things because... I think most people wouldn't go... You think it's going to be about Will Smith poncing around in New York, being annoying. And actually, it's a really, like, bleak, weird, creepy book. And then that's... Yeah, it was the inspiration for Night of the Living Dead as well.
Hmm.
So that's definitely one to check out, if you like that.
Do you know what year that's from? The book.
1954.
Okay, it's old. I didn't realise it was old. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's still got like some of the similar elements to the Will Smith film. Like, he's the only man left alive. He's got a dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the similarities end.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. And then the last one, and just because I always recommend this film, is High Rise.
Oh, that's fucking great. Although I fell asleep halfway through it.
Have you not seen the end of it?
No, I don't think I have, you know. Actually, that's a film I could watch while I was working.
Definitely.
No, I got to the bit with the pool and then I fell asleep.
Oh man, you've seen like a quarter of it.
Yeah. I really liked it, I just couldn't keep my eyes open.
Yeah, that's from 2015. And that's by our favourite director, Ben Wheatley.
Oh, mwah, Ben.
This is for you, Ben.
Me and Ollie love you. We love your work. Please keep doing what you're doing. 10 out of 10 director.
Yeah, it's a good book as well, although, not that this is, I don't know why I'm saying although in that way. The book's so similar to the film that you kind of only need to read one of them.
Okay.
Because I love the film so much, I was like, I want to read the book and find out more. And then I basically was just like reading the script for the film and I was like, I learned nothing more.
Oh, can we talk about The Goldfinch as well?
You may.
Oh, sorry, I'll let you finish your point. That's just from...
Yeah, but High Rise is... that's the end of the world, but only in one tower block. So the rest of the world's going on fine. And that all the people in the tower block, their life all goes, like, to shit. But because they all live in this fancy tower block, they don't want anyone in the outside world to know that they're falling apart. Because they all... It's all about, like, how you get perceived by other people and, like, class, the class system.
Oh, like...
A bit like Parasite.
Yeah, Parasite, yeah.
Yeah, it is a bit, actually.
Hmm, interesting. Yes, and the kind of like levels as
Yeah, so with this, it's like the people at the top of the tower block are the richest and the people at the bottom are the poorest.
And that's interesting. I wonder whether the director of Parasite, how do you say his name?
Bong Joon-ho.
Yeah. I wonder whether he was influenced by High Rise.
I don't know. I imagine, given that he deals with that in quite a lot of his films, I imagine he would have liked High Rise.
Mm.
And also, it's, the book was J.G. Ballard. Mm. Pretty famous.
Pretty famous, yeah.
So, maybe.
Could say that.
If we ever bump into him, let's ask him.
Okay.
Bong Joon. Thoughts. High Rise. Yay or nay? And he's like, sorry, I don't speak English.
Please get away from
get
me.
Get away from me. Please. I'm putting up the I'm putting up the window of my limo now, sir. Am I scraping at the window like Tova?
Yeah, me and Ollie watched The Goldfinch, which, I mean, you guys all know how much I love the book. And the film came out
last year?
This year.
No, because it's only March.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah, last year, and it kind of got quite bad reviews, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But me and Ollie watched it, and if you're a fan and you've kind of, like me, been avoiding watching the film through worrying that they ruin it, and I actually really liked it. Made me cry twice. Obviously, the book is much better, and I can see how people would say that the film is boring. If you haven't read the book, because it is quite slow, and I don't think they really explain.
I don't think it really make much sense if you haven't read the book. I think you'd just be like, wait, why is he doing that? Why is he going there?
Yeah, I don't think they don't put enough stress on the painting. Like, in the book, like, the painting, the whole way through the book is like this, like, in the back of his mind. Whereas it's kind of just, like, occasionally brought out and stuff in the film, which is a bit like, we also thought that Luke Wilson was not the right choice for the arsehole dad.
Rarely the right choice.
He's a nice...
He's good in Wes Anderson
He's
films.
Nice and wholesome, and he is not an arsehole. The guy playing him should have been a dickhead. Like, the only person I could think was, like, Christian Slater, but maybe he's a bit old.
Yeah.
Also was really upset by Boris's character, the older... actor who played him, who I don't think he's really been in much.
I didn't know who he was.
No, but I just felt really upset that it wasn't what's his name, Ezra Miller from We Need to Talk About Kevin, because in my head he was just
him,
Boris. And it was really upsetting to me that he wasn't cast in it.
Yeah. Despite your best efforts to get him cast in it. What I thought was strange is, like, so they've taken this book that is, like, critically acclaimed. I think everyone says it's a good book. Like,
yeah.
There can't be any...
Well, I saw an article saying that it was a deeply flawed book, and I was like, what are you talking about? It's perfection to me.
Well, I think even
this is why you shouldn't really read reviews. No. Just make up your own mind.
But I think even if you said it was a deeply flawed book, not that I've seen this review, I'm sure they still enjoyed it, even if there are issues with it.
Mm.
But, like... It's such a famous book, and they're like, and then when they made the film, they decided to, like, mess around with, like, the order of things and, like, show different bits at different times. And you're like, just follow the book.
It's clearly
they've written it in the correct order.
It's
if she'd written it and it jumped around in time, then make the film like that. It's just like directors trying to
put their stamp on things.
Yeah, I think it must be very hard for directors to just be like.
I think when you pick a book like that that's just so loved, it's very difficult to then translate that to a film, because you've got a guaranteed audience, because the people who love the book are going to see the film, but they're going to pick it apart because they love the book so much.
But if you think, like, yeah, if you're pandering to, if you know the majority of those people that are going to come in and watch that film, mm-hmm. are people who've read the book.
Yeah.
Keep it similar to the book.
Mm. Yeah, totally.
Don't do the bit that happened at the beginning of the book at the end.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
They didn't do Harry Potter coming out of his cupboard under the stairs at the end of the 8th film, because that would have been bullshit.
Can you imagine?
And you're like, oh, he was a wizard! Oh!
This whole time!
Oh, I thought he was just really lucky. I don't know.
Anyway.
Anyway, yeah. I would still recommend watching the film, but only if you've read the book.
Yeah. So those are our recommendations to keep you going during this weird time where you've got more time on your hands. So you've got, if you want some time to kill, then there are some films and books to read and watch.
I just feel like I've got so many things I want to do in these times of quarantine.
Yeah.
I'm running out of time.
Yeah, I kind of want to... I've got quite a lot of commissions still to do, which is good because it's keeping me busy and kind of my mind occupied, so I'm not going to be worrying. But I'm going to try and, like, after my commissions are done, concentrate a bit of time to doing art that I've been wanting to do for ages but haven't had enough time to do. Also, I'm probably going to have a load of time because no one's going to fucking buy anything. Because nobody has any money and everyone's worried what's going to happen. So I just hope that the government fucking pull their fingers out and don't forget about freelancers, because we still exist and we still need to pay bills. And we're also up fucking shit creek with this situation.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I don't want to dwell on...
Because
it's so overwhelming. I think that's the trouble with this. It's just so overwhelming. Like, it's all anybody's talking about. It's on the news. It's all over social media.
It's all in the films I'm watching.
Yes.
Through my own choice.
And I think I've really struggled to sort of know what to post on social media at the moment, because half of me wants to carry on like normal and like provide a bit of sort of like light and a bit of sort of normality, but then I don't want people to think I'm being thoughtless and that I don't care and that I'm not worried, because I very much am. But then I also just don't want to add to the noise out there of just what's going on, because I mean, I'm personally really affected by it. It's making me feel very anxious, like just being bombarded with information and also other people's opinions all the time. Like,
like we should be doing this. No, you should be doing this.
Yeah, don't go outside, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, obviously don't go outside, but I just don't need to hear it everywhere I look. Like, I mean,
hear it everywhere I look.
I've gone crazy.
I've lost control of my
senses during this time.
But I do feel like the instructions have been quite vague in terms of what we should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
They're sort of like, oh, if you go out, then try not to touch things, but you can still go out and you can go to the supermarket, but be careful, but stay in your house, but you can take your dog out for a walk. And it's like, I think they just need to give a stricter set of rules, because at the moment, you know, it's kind of down to how you perceive it, and I don't think that's the right way to do it. I think they just need to say, guys, you don't leave the house. You can leave the house for these three things, and if you do these three things, you've got to make sure you do this, this, and that.
And I think they should like really outline like the sort of plan of action and like what like social distancing is actually going to, like how it's going to impact the spread of it. I think if they actually like spelled it out and told you more, like people would take it more seriously.
Yeah, it's weird because the only places you learn that information from are like charts that people are putting on Twitter.
Yeah, and it's hard
not
to know
from like
scientists and the government. It's hard to know what's fake news. It's Donald Trump over here.
Yeah.
Anyway,
this Donald Trump needs to go and build a wall between us and our neighbour so they can't get in and touch my belongings.
And I need to finish sorting out my art. I've been going through all of me and Ollie's old artwork.
This has got to be the tidiest the nation's houses have ever been, right?
I mean, it's got to be, right?
I mean...
All the DIY will be done, all the gardening. I'm growing some potatoes.
Yeah, we're ready. We're growing basil.
Growing potatoes.
So we can make pesto, and we're growing potatoes, so we can make chippies. I'm ready for 6 months of isolation.
Anyway, guys, sorry this is a bit late, by the way, but obviously you'll all understand. We've had a lot going on at the moment.
Also, don't pretend to me you have any concept of what day, time, or year it is.
Because we don't.
I've gone fully into the time period of between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
That's me now.
Yeah. Totally.
I don't even know if it's lunchtime or dinner time now, or breakfast.
All
of the above.
Oh, wow. It's a bit later than I thought it was.
Yeah, come on. I've got to build this wall.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I hope you're all staying safe and you're not feeling too anxious and bored during this time. And yeah, if you want to chat about anything, I'm always here. And if you fancy just having a little chin wag, I'm at Finney Elliott Portraits on Instagram, and Ollie's at Ollie Place. You can find everything that we've recommended and talked about in the show notes today. Yeah, and share this round. Maybe it can help someone who's lonely. Yeah.
Try sharing this and not sharing coronavirus.
Yeah. Spread it like a virus.
Spread this like the dirty COVID-19 it is.
We love you, and hopefully, yeah, we won't have... This won't be our reality for too much longer.
Yeah, so hopefully this time next week when we record, we'll be like, wow, it's crazy that all finished so fast.
Fingers crossed, although I doubt it somehow.
Gloved fingers crossed.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.